Before we get started here, let's have a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, I come here this morning to share your word, Lord. Lord, let the things that I say be pleasing to you and encouraging to the congregation, Lord. Lord, these are your people, and I pray that when they go out these doors, that they would feel encouraged, that they would be changed by what is said today, Lord. Lord, I just pray that you would be with this service and open up our hearts and souls to receive your word today. We thank you for all your many blessings. In Jesus' name, amen. I asked you a question and you had time to think about it now. So are you, as an individual, at war? Now, I'm not talking as America at war, because if you listen to the news, it sounds like North Korea, we're going to war. Russia one day, not the next day. Siberia, Middle East. It seems like the world is at war. I am asking, are you, as an individual, at war? Yes or no? Okay. So that's what we're going to talk about today a little bit, is being at war. We read in Ephesians chapter 6, putting on the armor of God. The only reason I know to put armor on is to go to battle. And verse 17 talks about the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Now, if I think as a man in excitement, if I got a sword, that means I get to chop things apart. I am putting on the armor of God, and I get to use a sword. So, I brought a sword here this morning. And I think so many of us Christians are carrying a sword around that looked just like this. It's a Nerf sword. Now, I asked Jed ahead of time whether I could use him. So, if I had this sword, Jed, would you be intimidated by me coming after you with a sword that looks like this?
Yeah, because I don't have my 460 with me.
See, I figured you would have something to say like that. If you had another weapon, you wouldn't be concerned. And let's face it, this is a Nerf sword. I don't think too many people are going to be intimidated by a Nerf sword, but I think many Christians today are carrying this around. Chris, can I get you to turn the lights off? Because this is a really cool sword. Not only is it the word of God, because the sword is the word of God, but it lights up. Now, even if you had your 460, I think you'd be intimidated, right? No, I don't think so. Not one bit. Gene, would you be intimidated by this sword? Knowing that you were a retired Army man, would you be worried about me coming after you with my Nerf light up sword? No, I didn't think so. All right, let's turn the lights back on. So let's face it, most Christians are walking around with a Nerf sword and thinking they're going to change the world. Come on, that's a joke. Are we not? Who are we kidding but ourselves? God's word says his word is a sword, okay? Not a little toy. You're putting on all this armor, these breastplates, and all these different components that the Roman soldiers wore, the most intimidating military force that was in that day, and they carried a sword. And when you met up with the Roman army and you didn't do what they said, guess what? They used that sword on you. They had no concern about it, and it wasn't some Nerf sword. But so many of us Christians nowadays, we're willing to say that we're at war and we're going to go to battle, but we're too busy in the backyard playing Nerf guns, shooting little foam bullets at each other and maybe saying bang, bang, and expecting the world to change by that. Is that the type of Christian you want to be? You want to be the type of Christian that just walks around with a little foam sword and acting like I'm really making a difference? See, I think most of us deep down inside, we want to make a difference in the world. We want to have a lasting impression with other people around us. We want to let something behind, a legacy. But so many of us are so busy just going to work and going through the routine and carrying around a little Nerf sword because we really don't want to offend anybody because, you know, they might not be our friend anymore. Maybe on Facebook they'll defriend us or whatever it is. I'm so anti-friend, I don't even have Facebook. So why would we want to be that kind of a Christian? And I don't think we really want to. So we have that group of Christians over there that is busy thinking that they're Christians and really not doing much of anything. And then I have a second group of Christians. See, and they come and they feel, you know what? I'm going to carry a sword. I'm going to battle. See, now, I knew that Jed was very outspoken, so I knew I could use him. But I thought he might be concerned if I started to come after him with the sword. So I brought with me here today, this is my little Jed. Okay? So we'll give him some eyes, we'll give him a nose, and a mouth. Because he's always got something to talk about, so we'll give him a little bubble here. Beside, we'll give him a little bit of hair up here, not too much. And I'm going to set little Jed here on my table. We might have to give him an attitude adjustment before we even get started if he's not going to sit still. So now, I got my little Jed. You know, and there's this group of Christians that, you know, God's word says we have a sword and we're going to carry it and we're going to use it. And I got here my little Jed. And I'm sure I can find problems with little Jed. So I can use this sword. Now, hold on. There is one part of scripture I want to read before that, before I get started in that. And that is found in Matthew 7:5. So if you turn to Matthew chapter 7, verse 5, it says, "Thou hypocrite, first cast out the beam out of thine own eye, and then shalt thou see clearly to cast out the mote out of thy brother's eye." So I came prepared for this. Since I have this beam in my own eye, I brought a mirror. So, Jed, before I take the dust out of your eye, I'm going to get the beam. I'm going to take it out of my own eye. And see, now I'm this perfect, good Christian man. Now I can swing the sword. Because, see, God's word says so. He armed me with a sword. I'm going to use it. I took the beam out of my own eye. So, you know, now I can use this and, you know, now stand still, little Jed. This is only going to hurt for a little bit. We just got to remove this because this will make you feel a lot better, okay? You know, and sometimes, well, you talk too much. Let's just take care of that problem, okay? And see, as Christians, we start talking and we will jab that other Christian. We'll just say, you know what, enough's enough. And, you know, you got to get this straightened out because I'm this perfect Christian, right? You know, I'm perfect. I don't do all these things that are wrong, but, you know, little Jed has so many problems. And I'm going to teach him right. I'm going to just tear him apart. I'm going to point out every verse in the Bible that I know that he's not following. Even though I have my own sins, my own problems, I just don't want anybody to know about them. I'm not going to let them know, but boy, I can attack little Jed because I'm going to straighten him out. And I'm going to use God's word to do it. And then afterwards, We'll cut them all up, and then we'll wonder why little Jed don't want to come to church with me. Well, come on, little Jed, let's go to church. You know, I just pointed out all these things that are wrong with you, and I told you what you need to fix. Now that I pointed them out, come on, come to church and feel God's love. There's a huge group of Christians that are hypocrites because they just think they're perfect and they can point out God's word to everybody else that they're doing wrong. And when life gets even more worse, we stand there waiting to tell little Jed, I told you so. You know, if you would have just given your life over to the Lord years ago when I first pointed it out to you, boy, life would be a lot better. Now, I don't know about you, but I've been a Christian for a while, and I can't say that life is always easy as a Christian. I think a lot of times it's a lot harder to be a Christian than to go with the flow and be a non-Christian. So if you're going to sit there and point at little Jed and say, well, you know, I told you so, it would be easier now, I think maybe you should do a self-evaluation yourself. So I've just pointed out two groups of Christians. And there's so many that fall into these two groups. But I think what we need to do is we need to go back to the beginning of our verse here that we read from Ephesians. We talked about the armor of God. Now, I wholeheartedly believe that if God is going to tell me that I need to put the armor of God on, that there is a purpose for that armor of God. If he is going to give me the sword, and the sword is going to be God's word, there's a reason for it. But what we really need to do is look and see if the word of God is to attack little Jed, or what's the purpose of that? What's the purpose of this armor that we are putting on? And also this sword that we are able to swing. Why do we have it? So if we go back to Ephesians chapter 6, and we start reading at verse 10, it really enlightens us to why we have this armor and also a sword that we can carry around with us. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord, in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Verse 12 tells us a very important part of this whole armor. Verse 12 tells us we are not fighting against flesh and blood. Christians, we are too busy fighting with one another. Like here with little Jed. We're too busy fighting with him and getting sidetracked and not even realizing where the battle really lies. The battle that we should be fighting is the battle against Satan, the dark forces that are roaming around in this world. I think there's a lot of Christians that don't even worry about this dark world. I think some might even think that it doesn't exist. We are that far out of touch with reality and with God's word, and we get so consumed with worrying about our neighbor or somebody that's sitting in the seat beside you, that we don't even have to worry about the devil's attacks because we're taking care of it for them. We're so busy tearing one another down, or so busy that we don't even take God's word seriously, that half the battle's already won before the devil even starts. But we see here the armor that is given in the sword, God's word, is to fight Satan in this dark world. All the demons and other things that we face. It's not to cut up our friends, our brothers, our sisters, No, we are to do battle for the Lord against these fallen angels, headed up by Satan himself. And if we are going to battle Satan, we better know our enemy, because he's no joke. When I was growing up as a teenager, I played a lot of the game called Risk. It's a board game. It's world control. You had these little armies and territories, and as a player, you would try and take over the whole world and control it all. And one thing that I learned from the time of learning that until I played it many times was you always wanted to understand your enemy. A lot of times when you were playing, you could predict where your enemy was going to go before he went. It's good military advice to be able to study your enemy. So if we're going to go to battle against Satan, we should really spend some time studying him so we know what to expect. So some of the things I have found about Satan, in 1 John 3:8, it says, Satan has been sinning from the beginning. Exodus 7:12, Satan will try to imitate God's work to deceive us. Ephesians 2:2, Satan rules the evil spiritual world. 2 Corinthians 11:14, Satan dresses like an angel of light. I think so many times Satan dresses up like something that he's really not, just to fool God's people. And many times we fall into his traps. 2 Corinthians 4:4 tells us Satan has blinded the minds of the unbelievers so they can't see the light of the gospel. And if you think about what Satan has done there to the unbelievers, why do we expect anything different when we try and preach the gospel to them, but to have blinders on and not see it? Because Satan has been busy deceiving the unbelievers, and Christians have been busy fighting amongst ourselves. It's time for us to be able to be busy taking the blinders off the unbelievers so that they can see the gospel. Matthew 8:28, he is aided by demons. It's not just the devil that we fight against, but there's demons that he's in control of. They're the fallen angels. In Matthew chapter 4, 1 through 11, we see that Satan tempts Jesus in the wilderness. And I'm going to tell you, if Jesus was tempted in the wilderness, guess what? Each one of us are going to go through the wilderness as well, and Satan's going to come and tempt us. It wasn't sin for Jesus to be tempted, but one thing that Jesus did every time, if you look at those verses, every time he answered Satan with the word of God. If we want to be able to battle against Satan and his temptations that come, we better know the word of God so that we can fight back. In John 8:44, it tells us that Satan is the father of lies. Job chapter 1, 6 through 12, Satan comes to God wanting to know if he can attack Job. Now, Job is the only one that's recorded in Scripture, but do you think Satan quit doing that now? You think Satan no longer cares about the other Jobs that are walking this earth today? No, Satan's still busy doing the same work, still trying to deceive people here on this earth. One of those things of pain loves misery, and he just wants to keep gaining more and more people. He wants the company of as many people as he can. 1 Peter 5:8, Satan is a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. Now, I don't know about you, but I don't really want to go up on my own power against a roaring lion as well. But see, I know Satan and his demons, but I have a God that is much better than that and much bigger than them. See, it doesn't matter what Satan brings against me because I know his future. I might lose a battle here or there or here on earth, but I know that Satan will be cast into the lake of fire for all of eternity. I know that if I continue to finish the race that I have started, that heaven will be waiting for me.
Excuse me.
Satan is by no means an easy enemy. He's not going to give up. It doesn't matter how many times we beat him. He's not going to give up and think, oh, I'm just going to quit trying. He's not going to get discouraged by something that is said, even though Christians many times were easily offended by what might take place. We will have to learn to battle him individually in our lives, because I can guarantee you attacks will come. Some of them will be physical or spiritual, relationships, mental, maybe our possessions, whatever they might be, but Satan is going to attack us. And when I was younger, in my 20s or so, probably I heard this fact that Satan will attack you. And I thought, boy, you know, if you're living right and serving the Lord, Satan's going to attack you. And I heard it many times. And from one time to the next, Satan didn't attack me. And I thought, what am I doing wrong? Because I've heard that, boy, Satan, if you're living right, he's going to attack you. And I started to doubt that the things that I was doing was really right in the eyes of God, because I wasn't being attacked. Life was going good. And I started to realize that Satan was actually attacking my mind in the aspect of not attacking me. Because he started to put doubt in my mind because I started to think that what I'm doing is not right. I'm not here to say that Satan's going to attack you in that way, but things are going to come. We need to be prepared for that. We also, not only as individuals, we need to battle Satan as a body of believers. You know, instead of with little Jed, instead of attacking him when he's going through a hard time, maybe when he's being tempted by Satan and he's falling to that temptation, instead of pointing it out to him that, yeah, you know, you got to get this straight, how about we come alongside him and give him a shoulder to lean on and help him through it? You know, because someday we're going to be the one that's down and out and being tempted and failing. Because being a Christian doesn't mean being perfect. So as a body of believers, we need to gather together to be able to battle against devils, the devil in this dark world. You know, we are not in a spectator sport. We all have a position. We have an area of influence, whether it's in our family, our workplace, our community, whatever it is. God has specifically designed you to be where you are right now. There is nobody else that is going to do what God has called you to do. And it doesn't matter how many times we get discouraged, we need to pick back up and join the battlefield once again. It is high time for us as Christians to suit up and put the whole armor of God on and start fighting against Satan in this dark world. We need to spend time in God's word and on our knees if we are going to fight Satan and make a difference in this world. So let's show Satan we serve a God that is bigger than him, and we are on the winning side. I'm going to ask Scotty to come and lead us in a song, and I'm going to open up the altar here. If you're willing to take that step and say, enough is enough, Satan, I'm not going to wait for you to attack me and always be on the defensive side. I'm not going to carry around a Nerf sword anymore and act like it's really going to make a difference. And I'm not going to carry a sword anymore that attacks my brother. But I am going to carry a sword that is God's word, and I am going to use it to attack Satan and his demons that he controls here on this world. So if you're willing to make that stand and say, you know what? I've had enough, Satan, and it's time that we do battle. I'm going to open the altar and you can come and pray, because we need to be a body of believers that are fighting against Satan in this dark world. We need to be able to let our light shine and not be worried about what others might think.